May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 886. 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing o'er. Hymn 886.
From the Holy Word of God, we will read together the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and we'll read the first 56 verses. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And, behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marvelled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed for ever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. We will leave our reading there, and may God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek to approach unto thee in prayer. We ask thy gracious help now as we come before thee in prayer. We ask, Lord, for that faith. Lord, that thou grant us living faith in our hearts as we approach the throne of grace. We do thank thee for this opportunity to meet together to worship thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come as poor sinners and approach a holy, all-seeing, all-knowing, almighty Lord God in heaven through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. We do praise and worship thy great and holy name as we come before thee now. We ask, Lord, that thou would stretch forth thy gracious hand, that we might know that drawing influence, that we might, Lord, be blessed with the power of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we may be made nigh, be brought near by the blood of Jesus. We're poor sinners, Lord. We confess our failings, our many sins. And we praise and worship the mercy that has made a new and living way, a way of access, a way of approach for poor sinners such as we. And we would seek to come in that right way. We would seek to come, Lord, in that way marked out with blood, to approach a holy, heart-searching God, and to plead the name of Jesus. We pray to be accepted in the Beloved. We pray that we may come on that ground of mercy. We pray that we may come rightly before thee. Lord, we are sinners. How needful we are of that cleansing. Oh, to be washed, to be made clean. Lord, to be prepared. Lord, thou knowest our needs this day. Grant us then, Lord, a view by faith of a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour. Oh, may we, Lord, see those many hindrances and obstacles and difficulties swept away, and may we come with that boldness. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thou knowest, Lord, each heart and each case. Thou knowest, Lord, all about each one of us. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've come, and how we've come to worship thee, and what our needs are. And oh, we do pray that in thy mercy and in compassion, that thou wilt graciously supply each need. Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of even this day. May there be, according to thy holy will, those vital things done for our never dying souls. May we be blessed with an ear to hear and a heart to receive. May there be a word. May we hear thy voice. May there be something done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Compassion on us have we pray, and empty send us not away. Lord, do deliver us from temptation. Deliver us, Lord, from a wandering mind. We pray that our minds might be focused, might be directed, might be drawn. We pray for thy gracious influence within. Stir us up, we pray. Enlighten us. Enliven us. Oh, we do pray, Lord, touch our hearts. May we know our hearts drawn out in true worship and praise this day. May we hear to the profit of our souls. Be not silent to us. Lord, we're not worthy to be favoured with an ear to hear thy voice. And yet, it's what we truly need. And though our sins testify against us, yet thy mercy and thy compassion knows no end. And so we pray, we come and we plead for that mercy which is to be found in thee. We plead in the name of Jesus that thou look upon us and have pity and perform in us and for us those things which are needed. Lord, thou knowest all about us. Thou knowest, Lord, what we stand in need of. Lord, thou knowest how we've come. Oh, we pray to come in that right way, that there might be a laying aside of every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lord, we do pray that we may leave to one side the many pressing things that are in our lives. Those things, Lord, which distract, which take away, which rob us of a clear mind, which take away our thoughts, which at times overcome us with fear. We pray, Lord, to being able to lay them at thy feet, that we may cast all our care upon thee. Oh, we do pray, humble us before thee. May we be humbled under thy mighty hand, humbled before thee, May we be brought in that right way. O Lord, we ask that thou would empty us of any self-righteousness. Leave us not, Lord, to have a man-made religion. Oh, but may we be truly led and taught by thy Spirit. May we receive from thy good hand those good gifts. Grant to us true living faith. May faith be mixed with our hearing this day. And may we worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for each who are gathered here today and any who are listening in. We pray that thou would bless this assembly. And those that listen in are not able to be here, may there be a unity. May we be of one mind, of one spirit, one desire to truly worship the living God. Turn us away from our idols. Separate us from them, we pray. And may we be true worshippers of thee. Grant, Lord, that the vital presence and power of thy Spirit may be with us here and with each who gather round thy word. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy word may be made powerful. That it may have that effect, that lasting, saving effect in our hearts. Oh, we do pray that it might enter into us and abide with us. A word, Lord, that we can hope on, believe in, that we can build on. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy word this day might meet each case and touch each heart. And under the power of thy Holy Spirit, do those things in us and for us which are needful for time and for eternity. Lord, thou knowest each heart, each case, each life, each path is before thee. Lead us in that right way. Bless our parents. Grant to them wisdom and grace in bringing up children. Bless the children and help them, Lord, with the difficulties, the uncertainty, the many sins and distractions that there are around us in the world at present. Bless those, Lord, who are at work. Help them. Those who have united in marriage and begun to walk their lives together. May they be blessed with thy presence. Lord, we do pray for each. The older friends, Lord, who undertake for them in their bodily needs and in the needs of their souls. Lord, we have so many things to pray for. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou art undertake for us each and supply all our need. And we do think of that word, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Needs for this week. Needs for this life and those needs of our never dying souls. For Lord, there are things that are pressing upon us in this life. But how needful it is, how vital, that we might know that one thing needful. To be made right, to be made ready, to be prepared for that great day. For Lord, we are fast approaching a never-ending eternity. And the question is asked, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Oh, may we each be found right at last. In all the things that we have or don't have in this sin-cursed world, may we know peace with God, that peace which passeth all understanding. Be made right, to be made ready, to stand before a holy God. O Lord, we pray, leave us not to be taken up with the things of this life. There are those things which are necessary for us to consider and do and walk out, but may we not lose sight. Oh, of that vast eternity and that judgment day. Oh, prepare us, we pray, by thy Spirit. May even the services of thy house this day prove to be that preparation for us. May we hear thy voice. Speak into our hearts, we pray. O Lord, we do pray, take away all our sins. Speak peace, life, liberty into each soul. And say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, we do ask, Lord, that thou forgive everything we've asked amiss. Lord, we return thanks for the multitude of thy mercies. Thy mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, as we have been spared, maintained and kept thus far through this coronavirus, we return thanks for those that have recovered, have been restored. We do pray that thou watch over us each. And we do thank thee, Lord, that that there is a vaccine. And we do pray, Lord, thy blessing to rest upon those things which are being done. We pray, help our government, our Prime Minister, those in authority. We do pray that their eyes might be opened. We pray that this virus might be used to bring many to consider. Many might be brought to thy feet in confession of sin. May many be brought to look back to this year, to this time, and to confess, to testify, there the Lord met me. There the Lord blessed me. So help us, we pray. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Bless this church and congregation. Lord, do bind them together in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. Unite them as a church and people. May they walk in liberty, in life, and in love, esteeming other better than themselves. Grant that we each may be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. Forgive anything we've asked amiss. Pardon the poverty of our worship. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn number 57. What shall the dying sinner do that seeks relief for all his woe? Where shall the guilty conscience find ease for the torment of the mind? Hymn number 57.
the Holy Word of God, the Lord's help this morning, I will direct your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verse 37. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. The Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from this 37th verse. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke, out of the four Gospels, is the only one where we have recorded these early beginnings. Firstly, of John the Baptist, and then God's dealings with Mary, and the conception of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is a great mercy that we have these things left for us to read, to pray over, to consider. Really, there were two impossibilities in the beginning of this chapter we read. Firstly, we have the impossibility of the birth of the forerunner, John the Baptist. All of those many years before, Isaiah writing, prophesying under the influence of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, he set forth this forerunner, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And all of these many years later, there's a performing of those things. And it's Zacharias and it's Elizabeth. And they're old. They're married, but they have no children. She's barren. These things, naturally speaking, they're impossible. And yet, we have this emphasis, this illustration, this example set before us that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then we have the fulfilling, the beginning of the fulfilling of all the prophecies, all of those things that have been written and recorded in the Word of God. So far, the Old Testament writings, the things that the prophets have spoken, which must be accomplished. We have the coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. An impossibility in so many ways. You think of it. The eternal Son of God should come from heaven, should make himself a little lower than the angels, should humble himself, should make himself of no reputation, should not take on him the nature of angels, but should take upon him the seed of Adam, be made like unto his brethren. We
particularly at this time of year, think and consider the wonders, don't we, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, some of us have considered it many times. We've heard it many times. But do we really consider the wonder of it? That the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, should come into this sin-cursed world. When Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, driven out, that separation through their sin from their God. What a place this world became. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. That fallen angel, Satan. The world becoming his dwelling place. And then you consider the reign of Satan in this world. And the power of the wicked one upon this world. His influence. And then you think, and we consider, we ponder the greatness, the wonder of wonders that the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God, should come into this world where sin was reigning, where Satan was ruling, and he should be made a little lower than the angels. That he should come and dwell among men. That he should come and at times sit. We think of him sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. We think of him those nights praying all night. We think of this glorious God-man, the creator of all things, and yet in this world having nothing, having no place to lay his head. What a wonder of wonders. And this dear woman, Mary, chosen, highly favoured, where the Word of God tells us. God had chosen her out of all women to be the bearer of his Son. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. When she received these tidings, she asks, doesn't she, how shall this be? How shall this be? How can these things be? How can I bring forth a son, having known no man? How shall these things be? And really, this is the reply, isn't it? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. She's been told some wondrous things, but they're impossible. There's a promise given to her. She's to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. How shall these things be? I wonder if you look at times in the Word of God and you see something, you read something, you hear something, or maybe the Lord has fixed something in your heart, given you a little hope, a little promise. How shall these things be? No, you're not doubting it. It's not unbelief, but how, Lord? How can these things be? No, there's the answer for you this morning. With God, nothing shall be impossible. There will be a performing of those things. You've been blessed with a promise. The Lord has given you a little hope, something to, in your heart, some prospect, some blessing is set before you in the Word of God or in your life, in providence. The Lord has given you and raised you up to a little hope. But you're here and it's there, and how can the two come together? How can it be realized? How can it be fulfilled? You've got to leave it, beloved friends. It is impossible at times for us. You can't trace out a way that he'll fulfill it. But has he spoken? And will he not perform? I mean, you're looking at all the difficulties, all the hindrances, all the obstacles. With God, nothing shall be impossible. He has spoken. Oh, may you and I then leave all these things, all these impossibilities in his hand. For that's what Mary did. Oh, behold the handmaid of the Lord. It's enough. It's enough that this morning I can leave it there. An all-performing, almighty, all-powerful God has spoken, and I can leave it there. Be it unto me according to thy word. In whatever way it will come about, I can leave it in his hand. Oh, that the Lord would bless us. Bless us with this same spirit of submission. The spirit of submission that Mary was blessed with. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm satisfied. God is in control. God will perform. God will undertake for me. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm here, submissive, serving, submissive to his will, to be made to lie submissive in his hands, to know no will but his, and to leave these things and the performing of them in his hand. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. So there we have the word in its context. The reply to Mary. The promise of impossible things to her. And the confirmation that God would perform it. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. This word also stands alone on its own. It requires none of the verses around it. It is a statement. It is a statement by the angel Gabriel of the God who he serves. It is a reminder again, taking up the reminders that we've had, the instruction that we've had in the Old Testament. The angel Gabriel begins confirming again that God is almighty. God is all-powerful. My mind went in my meditations to Abraham and Sarah. And what an impossible situation. Right at the beginning of the Old Testament, in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and there we find Abraham and Sarah are told, it's revealed to them that she would conceive, that she would bring forth, that there would be a child given to her that was also barren. That she would bring forth a child in her old age. And that the Lord was speaking. And what does he say to silence the doubting of Sarah? She says, saying, after I am old and waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She laughed in her heart at the thought that these things should be accomplished. And God said, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you know, I was thinking about this word, impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I was thinking, really, there are very few impossibilities in the day in which we live. You know, if you go back, you know, 100 years, 200 years, and then you think of where we are now, the advances that we have in technology, in science, in medicine. You know, 200 years ago, it was impossible to see a child before it was born. Well, we have ultrasound. And even in my short life, the improvements, the quality of the ultrasounds, the photographs that you can have of an expected baby are so much more advanced than they were even when we first had our first child. But it was impossible a number of years ago to see a child like that in the womb. We have x-rays, we have all sorts of different ways of scanning. These advances, things as we progress through time, through life, these things that were impossible a few years ago or a number of years ago are now possible. If you said to somebody 200 years ago, you could look at something held in your hand and see and hear somebody the other side of the world, they would say, that's impossible. But it's now possible, isn't it? I like that word. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard? Let's this morning, firstly, look at this. When you come to prayer, when you're brought by the Lord to these times in your life when things are too hard for you, maybe it's not impossible in human terms, but the problem that you have, the difficulty that has brought you into the trouble that you're in, for you, it is impossible. Maybe you need somebody else to do something. Somebody else to change their mind. somebody else's opinion to change. And for you, it is impossible. It's not impossible that they might change their minds, but for you, where you're sitting this morning, it is an impossible thing for you. You cannot have any influence over them. You need things to be done. You need things, people's minds to be changed. You need things to happen. And it's impossible for you to have any influence to perform those things. Well, may this word this morning be an encouragement to you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. May you come to the throne of grace with this word burnt into your heart. May this be one of those things which underpin you, which you stand on this morning in prayer. I'm praying to one who can do everything. The hearts of all men are in his hand. All things, all events, time and eternity, everything in his hand. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So we have those hard things. We have things that for us are impossible. Where can we go with them? No, it's to this wonder-working, this gracious, all-powerful, merciful Lord God in heaven. To whom else can we go? Where else can you go this morning? The hymn says, few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Do you know what that is? Self-despair. You can't do it. You can't perform it. You know you need it. Where can you go? Is there any help? Is there any hope? Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That is the enormity, the vastness of his power and knowledge, wisdom and grace and mercy. That whatever you bring before him, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above it, more than what you will ask. Oh, what an encouragement then for those who have difficulties in their lives, troubles, sorrows, hard things to come to terms with. Maybe you've got people that you feel are against you, or those things, those people that you that are laid upon your hearts that bring you sorrow. Oh, and if only the Lord would turn their hearts, work in their hearts, in their minds, bringing them to their right minds. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then we think of Jeremiah. And that instruction he had to buy that possession, that the land was occupied, the land was in captivity, but the Lord has said, buy thee a field for money and take witnesses. But it's an occupied land. We're in captivity. And in anyone's estimation, this is a strange, a peculiar, an odd thing to do. word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Well, I said there's few things in our day that are impossible. But there are still some. There are still some things which are impossible. We're told in the Word of God, in that beautiful chapter, The Worthies of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told of a man named Enoch. He walked with God. His testimony was that he pleased God. But Paul tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that word still stands. And there's another thing that's impossible for us with man. And that is the change, the changing of a heart. The changing of our hearts from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. The salvation of our souls. The deliverance from our sin. These things are impossible with man. Maybe you're plagued with thoughts like that rich young ruler. Told he went away disappointed. The Lord told him to sell all and give to the poor. How hardly shall they that trust in riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? Maybe that's a plague to your heart this morning. Oh, what an impossible thing. How can I enter in? Maybe the Lord has blessed you in providence, blessed you with intellect, blessed you with many things, and yet this one thing escapes you. This one thing is beyond you this morning. Is it the one thing that you desire, though? The one thing needful? What a need you have this morning to be made right, to be made ready. The Lord has so favoured you in providence. You have all your needs supplied this morning. But why? Why is this left beyond my reach? Feels to be beyond me. You can't buy yourself and pay your way into heaven. If you could, it would be easy for you this morning. But you can't. And it's not there by academic achievement. Otherwise you'd be in there this morning. You'd know that peace with God which passeth all understanding. But it's not through intellect or learning. You've searched the scriptures. You know them. They're in your mind. Oh, you can quote whatever scripture's needed. But where's the peace? Where's the pardon? Where's the liberty? Oh, what need you have. The favour of God. The mercy of God. Oh, if only only I knew what others know. Oh, if only I had that peace. But all I see is my sin. It's impossible, isn't it? You've tried everything. You've read. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Are you at wit's end corner? Feeling without hope, without God, and you're in the world? I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you've got to sink a little lower. Maybe the Lord will bring you down a little bit more. Maybe you've got to wait a little bit more. But I do know this morning, poor sinner this morning who's feeling far off and forsaken and at the end of everything, I know this, that day will come. Day will come. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. It's impossible with you. Who then can be saved? The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. What could I tell you this morning? Keep praying. Oh, keep pouring out your hearts. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Oh, keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep waiting. For none shall be ashamed that wait for Him. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put it within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. This isn't the organ that pumps blood around our bodies. This is our very being. The heart and the spirit, the same. New heart, new spirit will I give you. And I will put my spirit within you. Born again of the Spirit of God. Pray for it. Oh, wait for it. Pray for it. And give Him no rest for it. Oh, may the Lord stir up your heart in urgency. Oh, that it might be the one thing needful. It might be the all and in all thing for you. That He may be the one thing needful. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Not for your sakes, but for my sake. But for my sake. Oh, do thou it for thy great name's sake, O Lord. O Lord, hear my prayer. You know, we have that promise, don't we? He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Oh, He will bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He will wash the leper and make them make their flesh as the flesh of a young child. Oh, he will cleanse that guilty, wretched heart. He will put his spirit within us. He will change our heart. Give us that new spirit. His spirit within us. It is to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, that there is a work to be done in your heart. Oh, it might seem impossible that the Lord would ever dwell in such a wretched heart as yours. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, cleanse me. Wash me. Wash me. Oh, to be washed in that precious blood which cleanseth us from all sin. To have our hearts renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. To have our hearts changed, our desires changed, our will changed. Oh, to have our very lives changed by the dear Saviour of sinners, by his presence, oh, made willing to serve him, being made willing to take up the cross and follow him, to be made willing to lay aside all those sins of our past life, and to walk in newness of life, to walk in his footsteps, to walk in the ways of God, to move away from self-serving to serving him. To move away from our worship of ourselves to worshipping him only. Oh, the impossibility at times. How sin clings and cleaves to us. Oh, how polluted and wretched we are. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. What an account we have of in the Word of God, right through, of guilty, wretched, hell-deserving sinners who through the mercy and favour of God are brought out and brought along that path which leads to eternal life and brought into heaven at last. Oh, may your faith be raised up to a sweet hope in this dear Saviour of sinners, that the one who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, and may the dear Lord Jesus so draw near to you and so bless you that you're able to cast all your care upon him, and prove that he cares for you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Willing, the parish will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30 and also arrange for the Bibles to be collected by the three children who've learnt the TBS prizes. And also he'll preach again this evening, but the service will be 6:00 this evening. And then on Friday, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach at 7:00. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach in the morning at 10:30 and afternoon at 2:30. Sunday school will be cancelled next week. And the collections today are for the FGEA. Let us close with hymn 1095. 1095. dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? Hymn 1095.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.